This is Healing Your Soul with Katie Souza. Real keys to the miraculous. What's weighing you down, holding you back? What has wounded your soul? Today with Katie, discover the healing power of God for your life. Katie was once broken, oppressed, in bondage to a life of mental and physical pain, until God gave her a new life and powerful messages of how you can heal your wounded soul. Now, here is Katie to begin today's program.
Hi, this is Katie Souza. Welcome to Healing Your Soul, Real Keys to the Miraculous. Last week, I began talking about curses and the king that is over them. I showed you through scripture that the way a curse actually gets its right to afflict you is through a wound in your soul. Then that wound allows a specific demonic king to curse you. This is important to know, because if you want to break off every single curse off of your life, you need to get your soul healed. Sometimes when we pray curse-breaking prayers, we see fruit, but other times we don't. Why is that? It could be because the curse may have a right to be in your life because of a wound that's in your inner man. Remember, the Bible says the causeless curse cannot alight. Are you sick? Have you been out of a job? Has your ministry crashed and burned? Did you have a business that failed and went bankrupt? Maybe you lost your house. Maybe you lost your kids. All these situations could be because there's a curse on your life. At the end of today's program, we're gonna do another super soak so that Jesus can get right to the source of those curses and pull them out at the root. The first time I ever spoke this message in a conference, over 3/4 of all the people attending were either healed or delivered of some kind of affliction. That is a huge percentage. Well, I'm believing for that same breakthrough to happen for you today. In these programs, we've been talking about demonic kings. What are those? They're the strong men that Jesus talked about in Matthew 17. He said, if we want to thoroughly ransack the strong man's house, we must first bind the strong man. It says, when you read it, that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against despots, powers, and master spirits. If you look up the word despot, it means a tyrant king, a tyrant king. See, we are wrestling against kings and their kingdoms, pagan kings. They worshiped idols. And the Bible's very clear that an idol is just not a statue made out of stone or wood or gold. That it's a spirit, a demonic entity. Those pagan kings worship demonic spirits. So remember what the scripture says, that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with despots. See, Israel, when they were fighting these kings in the natural, they were really fighting despot king spirits in the supernatural. In this program, we're gonna speak about the king who is over curses. What is a curse? The dictionary says that a curse is the expression of a wish that misfortune, evil, doom would befall a person or a group. A curse can be the cause of all kinds of trouble, plagues and scourges and afflictions in our life. If you're constantly suffering some repeated misfortune, maybe even something that you saw your parents or grandparents dealing with, it's probably a curse. Listen to what Job said in Job 31. He says this: neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. Job is telling us where the target of curses are. It's the soul. Now, once a curse is on your family line, it doesn't just go away. Even when you're born again, you need to take intentional steps, intentional actions to remove the curse. You need to apply the blood of Jesus that he shed at the cross, but you also need to apply the dunamis power that was given to us through the resurrection of Christ. His curses are generational. They are carried down from one generation to the next in the soul. That's where they get passed down. They get carried from generation to generation in the soul. How does that happen? It happens in the womb. In the womb. When you are conceived in the womb, the mother's presence, your mother's presence is there. Your father's presence is there, right? So both the family line is there, and everything they had in their souls that they got from their mothers and their fathers is passed down to you in the womb. That's why David said in Psalm 51, said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity,
and in sin did my mother conceive me. How could you be born in sin and iniquity? Well, the way it happens is because you are born with the sins and wounds from your ancestors. Now, we've been talking about demonic kings, and there is a demonic king over all curses. He is the strong man over every curse. His name is King Balak of the Moabites. Now, his story is in Numbers chapter 22 to 24. And there's a lot going on in this story, but I'm going to skim through it as fast as I can and get to the main point. In this story, the Israelites had just traveled across the plains of Moab. They're camped along the Jordan across from Jericho. They're just about to cross over. And they just came from soundly defeating two very powerful kings that we'll be talking about, Sihon and Og of the Amorites. And King Balak of the Moabites is terrified of them. Now, what he does is he decides in his mind that the greatest and best way to stop the Israelite people, God's people, is to get them cursed. He's a pretty smart guy because curses do stop down God's people from moving forward in life and succeeding. Amen? So what does he do? He wants to solicit the help of a very powerful soothsayer named Balaam. So he sends emissaries, messengers, to go convince Balaam to come and curse God's people. These messengers have to travel 400 miles to get to Balaam. And when they get there, he turns them down. But King Balak does not give up. When they come back, he sends another group, princes, more numerous and distinguished than the first, to go back and to offer Balaam anything he wants, handsome rewards, whatever it takes to get Balaam to come and curse Israel. But Balaam refuses. But that night, the Lord tells him, okay, I want you to go, but I only want you to do what I tell you to do and say what I tell you to say. So Balaam goes, and he arrives at his destination, meets with King Balak, and King Balak takes him up on a high mountain so he can overlook the camp of the Israelites in hopes that from that location he will be able to release a curse on them. So Balaam goes out, he waits for a word from the Lord, because that's what God told him to do, and this is what he gets, and he comes back and he tells King Balak, "How can I curse those God has not cursed?" And then he proceeds to speak a powerful blessing over them instead of a curse. Well, you can imagine King Balak is not very happy, right? And he says, what have you done to me? I brought you here to curse my enemies, but you've thoroughly blessed them instead. But even though he's angry, he doesn't give up. He still presses. He presses. He wants to make this happen. So he says, look, let's go to another location. Maybe when you go up at that place, you'll be able to curse them from there. So he takes him up to another location. Balaam goes out to get another word from the Lord. When he gets that word from the Lord, he returns to King Balak and he says, well, this is what I got. It says, God is not a man that he should tell a lie, neither the son of man that he should feel repentance for what he has promised. Has he said and shall he not do it? Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? You see, I've received his command to bless Israel. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. And then Balaam goes on and he decrees more blessings. So now King Balak is getting angrier by the minute. This time he says to Balak, look, neither curse them nor bless them at all, will ya? But even though he's mad, again, he doesn't give up. He takes Balaam to another mountain, Mount Peor, so he can overlook the camp of the Israelites and hopefully curse them from there. So then Balaam goes out again, and it says in the Bible that as he looked upon the tents of the Israelites, he saw that it blessed God so much. It pleased God so much to bless his people Israel. Amen. So he came back, and he tells the king again that he's going to bless Israel again, and begins to release all these blessings. And King Balak gets very aggravated and tells him, look, I intended to promote you to honor, but now you need to go back home because you're done. Now, I want you to notice something very important about this king. He is relentless, isn't he? He wasn't going to give up, was he? He sent emissaries and princes and messengers 400 miles twice to try to get Balaam to curse. Then he takes him to not one location, not two locations, but three locations in hopes that he would finally be able to release a curse against Israel. He's like not taking no for an answer, Not taking no for an answer. You know why? Because there was a spirit behind him pushing him to curse God's people. And I believe that King Balak and the despot spirit, remember, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against despots, right? Who's driving King Balak to curse God's people? A despot king. A despot king is trying with everything it's got to get God's people cursed. And I believe King Balak, this spirit, King Balak, is the strong man over every curse. Now, why do I believe that? Let me show it to you. On the third mountaintop, Balaam again does not curse, but instead he blesses the people. King Balak's anger flares up. He says, you need to go back to where you belong and do it in a hurry, because I intended to promote you to great honor, but behold, the Lord has held you back. And when Balaam heard King Balak say that to him, he turned around and he said, did I not say to your messengers that I would only do what the Lord said to do? Now behold, I'm going to tell you, King Balak, what these people, Israel, will do to you in later days. Yeah, you want it. You asked for it, buddy. Here it comes. And then Balaam begins to speak a very powerful prophecy of judgment against King Balak. Now, I want you to listen to this, because this prophetic word proves that King Balak, this spirit, is the despot king, strong man over every curse, okay? This prophetic word proves that he is the strong man over every single curse that would ever try to come upon you. Ready? This is what he prophesies. He prophesies about the coming of Jesus Christ. Who is the curse breaker, isn't it? And he says this, I see him, capital H, as in Jesus. I behold him, but he's not near. A star, capital S, shall come forth out of Jacob, and a scepter, big S, as in Jesus' scepter, shall rise out of Israel and crush the corners of Moab, who were Israel's enemies, why Israel does valiantly. Out of Jacob shall one, big O, Jesus Christ, come, having dominion, and shall destroy the remnant from the city.
Today, with your support, you are giving hope and healing to a life that may be in a desperate need of a change.
There's nothing more satisfying than reading the testimonies sent in from prisoners around the world. Like the story of the man with an injured rotator cuff that was miraculously healed in one of our meetings. Afterwards, he jumped right into a faith-based program, and by the time he was released, he was radically on fire for God. Now you can be a part of making the next miracle.
Call now, and when you do, Katie would like to thank you for your gift by sending you a copy of her teaching and soaking set, Soul Crossing, Taking Your Promised Land. With your gift of $25 or more, you will have a part in putting God's Word directly into the hands of a life that is ready to change. Call toll-free 1-800-789-7895. And as a thank you for your gift, Katie will send you a copy of Soul Crossing.
How many times have you heard a sermon declaring you were taking your promised land, but it never happened? The story in Joshua 3 proves that you need to get your soul healed in order to take possession of your promised land. In this teaching, I show you how to do it. Plus, I've included a powerful soul-soaking disc to enable you to cross your Jordan and collect your inheritance.
Call now with your gift, 1-800-789-7895. Help Katie reach out to thousands of prisoners with a powerful message of God's ultimate healing power.
You know, you see Jesus woven in through all the Old Testament, you know. But this is amazing right here. Because here's this king viciously trying to get Israel cursed. He's going to stop at nothing to make it happen, right? And all of a sudden, a prophecy comes to him. And what's that prophecy about? Jesus, the curse breaker. Jesus, the curse breaker. Galatians says Jesus became a curse for us. For cursed is anyone who's hung on a tree. So here's King Balak. He is the curse maker. He's in charge of all the curses and to putting curses on all of God's people. He's the strong man over every curse. But here's God making use of Balaam, eh? Making use of the soothsayer Balaam, saying, now, prophesy about my son, and that'll put him right in his place. King Balak is the curse maker, but Jesus is the curse breaker. King Balak is the strong man over curses, but Jesus is the antidote. Amen. Amen. Now, do you remember how you defeat the strong man? Do you remember what the word strong man means? Look it up in the Strong's Concordance in the Greek. It means one who has strength of soul to sustain the attacks of Satan. See, that's how we defeat this strong man, and that's why God's people have not been totally freed from the curse yet. This teachings about curses have been around for a long time. But God's people aren't totally free of the curse yet. Why? Because we didn't understand that curses land on the soul. Remember, that's what Job said? He said, I will not suffer my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. We didn't understand curses land on our soul, that wounds and sin inside our soul allow a curse to land. And there's a strong man over these curses. In order to defeat the strong man, because you remember, if you bind the strong man, then you can thoroughly ransack his house. Then you can get rid of every curse that's in his house, right? In order to defeat the strong man, you got to become strong in soul. That's what the word strong man means, to have strength of soul to resist the attacks of Satan. Meaning when your soul gets healed, when those wounds get healed, when those sins get washed away, when your soul gets cleansed and made strong, then you're going to kick the snot out of kings like King Balak. Amen?
Right now, we're going to do what we like to call a super soak. You might be thinking, what is that? Well, let me explain. The word soak means to remove a stain by continued immersion. See, in our souls are the stains of sin and the wounds that come from them. If you had a stain on your clothes, you wouldn't just put a little soap on it and run it briefly under the water. You would thoroughly soak it to get the stain out. If you don't thoroughly soak a stain, it will set in, and then you'll end up walking around with that stain on your shirt for everyone to see. It's the same with our soul. If we don't thoroughly soak and immerse ourselves in the presence of Jesus, then the wounds in our soul will still be there, totally staining every area of our life. Now, I realize that what we're about to do may be different than what you're used to, but I'm sharing this with you because it's what I did to get healed of countless afflictions in my life. This is a real key to healing your soul. It's spending extended times in the presence of Jesus, soaking your soul. I encourage you to really focus and engage in this prayer time, because this is how you get healed. I didn't just produce these shows to give you a good message. The whole point of the program is to see you get a real breakthrough, so that when you watch these shows, something really happens. You get a real, tangible miracle. And how you get that is by engaging in these prayer times. I'm encouraging you to really focus and get involved in this super soak. Let's go back right now to the conference, because we're going to really press in for your victory.
Hallelujah. All right, so let's practice. You ready? Okay, remember what Proverbs says. 26:2, it says, like a sparrow in her wandering, like a sparrow in her flying, so the causeless curse does not alight. We're going to get rid of the cause in your soul that's allowing that curse to land. Amen? Okay, you ready? Put your hand on your belly or on your heart, either one. We're going to do the two things that we need, the blood from the cross and the dunamis power from the resurrection, okay? All right, here we go. Say, Lord Jesus, we're going to get rid of every curse that's in our soul. We're going to get our souls healed right now. Then the causeless curse will not be able to alight. So we put the blood. We decree that your blood that was shed on the cross is going all the way back in time through the generations to every sin that wounded our soul. We repent for any sin that caused our souls to be wounded. We repent for what we did, and we repent for our ancestors. In the name of Jesus, slather us with your blood. Fill our souls with the blood shed at the cross. We decree we're being washed of every sin that allowed the wound and the curse to come. In Jesus' name, we believe it and we decree it. Now I want you to just focus. I'm going to ask God to open up a realm for you right now, a realm to literally go back in time. You know, when you look at the word forgiven in the New Testament, it actually means the origin of the cause. See, the blood of Jesus is a time traveler, so to speak. It goes back to the origin of the cause. I want you to put your faith on that right now, that no matter how many generations back, the blood is going to that place. The blood is going to that place and washing away the sin that wounded your soul, that allowed the curse to come upon you. I'm going to make decrees with you. We decree it, Lord. The realm is open. The blood is going back through generations. The blood is timeless. It's going back through generations, even all the way back to the garden, all the way back to Adam, to wash away every sin that would wound our soul. That word forgiven in the New Testament, it means the origin of a cause. The blood is literally going back to the origin of the cause. You're forgiven of the sin. You're forgiven. Your ancestors are forgiven. You're all forgiven. The family line, completely washed and forgiven in Jesus' name. I'm seeing fruit happening. I'm seeing stuff happening. I'm seeing stuff breaking off right now. It's working. I know sometimes you might sit there and think it's not doing anything, but it's working. I'm telling you right now. Nothing can stop the blood and the dunamis. Nothing. Nothing. It's Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's King of Kings. Yeah, I see the distance being covered. Yes, I see the distance is being covered by the blood. It's like a blood trail all the way back. A blood trail all the way back. Amen. 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 Yes, Jesus became a curse for you. For cursed was anyone who hung on a cross. Yes. It's already been done. Now it's just manifesting. It's being released and activated into your life. Everybody say amen. Woo! Give God a praise for that. All right, but we can't stop there, can we? See, this is the problem. We've stopped there. But there's a wound there. Remember, the causeless curse is not a light. As long as there's a wound in your soul, there's still a cause for the curse to land on. Amen? So we got to get the wound healed. We repented for the sin. The sin is gone. But now we got to get the wounds healed. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Ready? Now let's pray for dunamis. So that curse, the wound that's allowing the curse to land, can be healed. Just say, Lord Jesus, I decree that my soul is being healed of every wound that allowed the curse to land. I speak dunamis from the resurrection into my soul. I am becoming excellent a soul. I command that resurrection power, dunamis, go all the way back through my mother's line, through my father's line, all the way back to Adam, to the garden, in the name of Jesus. I believe it. I believe dunamis can go all the way back to where the first wound was made in my family line. I decree every generation is excellent of soul. Every generation is excellent of soul. I'm being healed of all the wounds, and the curse will not be able to alight in Jesus' name. Now I command you, Balak, you let go of these people right now. I decree that they've been healed in their souls of everything that they have in common with you. And I command right now that you would let them go, that you would loose them. They have become strong in soul in the name of Jesus. They have nothing in common with you. And I break your assignment over them. And I thoroughly ransack your house. I ransack your house. Break the curse. I break it in the name of Jesus. I break the curse. I break it in the name of Jesus.
Now that the curses are broken off of you, you're going to start to notice a big difference in all kinds of areas of your life. If you face difficulty and repeated failures, you're gonna now see breakthrough and success. I decree your business is gonna be successful. Your ministry is gonna flourish. Your family is going to blossom. Your health is going to be restored, and you're going to prosper even as your soul is prospering.
Today, with your support, you are giving hope and healing to a life that may be in a desperate need of a change.
There's nothing more satisfying than reading the testimonies sent in from prisoners around the world. Like the story of the man with an injured rotator cuff that was miraculously healed in one of our meetings. Afterwards, he jumped right into a faith-based program, and by the time he was released, he was radically on fire for God. Now you can be a part of making the next miracle.
Call now. And when you do, Katie would like to thank you for your gift by sending you a copy of her teaching and soaking set, Soul Crossing, Taking Your Promised Land. With your gift of $25 or more, you will have a part in putting God's Word directly into the hands of a life that is ready to change. Call toll free 1-800-789-7895. And as a thank you for your gift, Katie will send you a copy of Soul Crossing.
How many times have you heard a sermon declaring you were taking your promised land, but it never happened? The story in Joshua 3 proves that you need to get your soul healed in order to take possession of your promised land. In this teaching, I show you how to do it. Plus, I've included a powerful soul-soaking disc to enable you to cross your Jordan and collect your inheritance.
Call now with your gift, 1-800-789-7895. Help Katie reach out to thousands of prisoners with a powerful message of God's ultimate healing power.
Next week, I have a very unusual revelation to bring you. Do you have unexplained pain in your body that moves around from one area to the next? Is this pain sometimes excruciating? Does it seem like no matter what you do, the pain doesn't go away? Well, the revelation I'm going to be teaching next week has already brought countless people around the world healing and relief. You're not going to want to miss this show. It has a special key of breakthrough for you. See you next week.